Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Now, tell me, in what were you doing before the word came out that you had to pull the plug?
Oh, so we'd just premiered on the 12th of March, and that was Thursday, and then on the Friday we got called into a meeting about midday, and we heard from head office that they were pulling all the shows, well, postponing all the shows for an undetermined amount of time.
How many, is there more than one Cirque du Soleil show going on around the world at any time?
Yeah, there's approximately about 40 of them.
40?
In various guises. Yeah. So there's all the touring shows. Yeah, there's about 7 or 8 big tops running around the world, and then there's the Vegas shows and various other shows all around the place. And then, but all the touring shows got noticed that day to close down, and a lot of them got told to pack it all up. But we were just, we're just open in Melbourne for a 2-month run.
And hang on, you were told this on Friday last week, right?
Friday the 12th, I believe, or 13th. Friday 13th.
Okay, Friday, Black Friday. Yeah. Oh, what a good day.
Black Friday, of course. Yeah. So we'd do our 2 shows that day, at 4:30 and 8, and then and then that would be it.
What does a technical director do?
Oh, so I just manage all, like, the head of lighting and all the lighting and the sound and the automation and the rigging and the scenic elements and the wardrobes. I look after all those heads of departments who then all have teams under them that do all the show technically.
Now, I'm guessing when a circus is pulled, when a show is stopped, you just can't walk away, can you? You can't walk away from the tent. You've got to find somewhere to put it.
So we're one of the lucky shows, one of 3 shows around the world that have actually left the tent up and the show sitting inside the tent. We made everything safe and secure. We spent the Saturday and the Sunday doing that. And there's 4 of the tent guys have stayed on, and they check the tent every day and make sure the guy wires and all the rigging's all safe still. So when and if we go back, we'll better go back quickly. But that might be, who knows when that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's extraordinary in a way, to think this big top, and there it is, almost like a ghost circus.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, you know, lots of guys are putting photos up on Instagram, you know, in the black and white and all that sort of stuff, of sort of ghost circusy stuff, you know, as we're packing it all up.
What did you have to do before you could leave?
Oh, so I just had to make sure that, you know, the guys did their job and they were all safe. And then we had a whole sort of tour management office that made sure everyone got home, you know, back to their various countries.
If I'm right about Cirque du Soleil, it's a very cosmopolitan affair, people from all around the world.
Yeah. We have anywhere between 25 and 30 different nationalities working on our show alone. You know, so the guys that were trying to get everyone home had a big job to get everyone home with, and so we finished our shows on the Friday, and pretty much everyone was on a plane on the Tuesday getting home.
How did the performers feel? I mean, but not just the performers, because actually I was at WOMAD doing some emceeing up there, well, down there, depending on where you are, or across there. And, of course, the musicians are what we first think of in terms of, oh, okay, there's no more shows, there's no more gigs, it's terrible. But actually, in some ways, the people even more affected are the technical people, the roadies, the sound people who go with the musicians. And I'm guessing it's the same for the circus.
Yeah, absolutely. And also we have a whole lot of local staff supporting us as well in each town, you know, and then a few of the local staff also follow us from city to city, you know, and then they all had to be let go as well, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was all a bit of a shock, but everyone dealt with it professionally and did what we had to do.
When did you walk out of the tent for the last time?
Sunday the 15th. Sunday the 15th.
And it's got security guards and a few Cirque du Soleil staff there, otherwise nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, otherwise still sitting there, all ready to go, already at some point, hopefully in the next few months, to kick back off again.
How hard was it to get home?
I chose to stay in Melbourne for a week extra, just to sort of see the line of the land and see how the cards were potentially going to fall.
Right.
And then when sort of alert levels started kicking in, I went, okay, my dad's getting on in a few years, so I thought I'd want to get closer to home just in case something happened to the pop.
Okay. What were some of your other options initially at the start of the week?
I was probably just going to try and sit it out in Melbourne if it hadn't got any worse, but it's all ramping up. I think the worst is yet to come.
Yeah.
So I was just going to sit it out. My plan was to sit out in Melbourne and just see how it was going to sort of pan out.
How did the mood in Australia develop over those few days?
In Victoria, the big sort of clincher was when they pulled the Grand Prix, really. That was when everyone sort of started taking notice, I reckon, you know, just from a pure observer's point of view. It was when they pulled the Grand Prix, everyone sort of went, oh, hello, this is getting serious.
Yeah. And then you decided, I assume you flew from Melbourne back to Auckland?
Yeah, so I can't remember, it was either Monday or Tuesday, I went, right, I'm going to get home.
Right, but was that, once you make that decision at that point, how easy was it to get out?
So I was lucky enough, I just jumped online and I was able to book a flight on Air New Zealand. There was no direct flights into Christchurch, because I wanted to end up in Christchurch. There was no direct flights to Christchurch from Melbourne. So I just jumped on the one that was coming to Auckland and then hopefully it was going to connect down to Christchurch yesterday.
But it didn't.
No, two reasons. We were delayed 4 hours. And then also just with the fact that up until yesterday, I believe, you were allowed to transit. When we were at level 3, you were still allowed to transit to your home sort of base or your home city. But as of yesterday or, you know, midnight last night or the night before, you had to sort of isolate in the city you land.
Yeah. And what caused that four-hour delay?
Just engineering. There was only 70 of us on the plane. On a 777, there was only 77 people on the plane.
A 777 with, now I think their capacity is 300 odd, isn't it?
Ish, yeah. Yeah, late 200s, 300s, early 300s, something, yeah.
What was it like? What was it like at Melbourne Airport?
It was very quiet, obviously. You know, there was hardly anyone around. But everyone, you know, we were just sitting there at the gate for a few hours and everyone sort of remained cool, you know. Everyone was just sort of, I suppose, you know, everyone's just sort of wondering what the heck's going to happen next. You know, it's just that uncertainty of it all. And everyone was, everyone remained cool and just each time they delayed a bit longer, you know, that normally you'd get sort of hear people being exasperated, but this time there was a lot more understanding and forgiveness.
Were there other people from other countries waiting for international flights as well?
There was a few other flights leaving about the time. Yeah, there was probably a flight heading up to, I think, Manila from memory. And there was a Singapore flight and one to Jakarta from memory as well.
And on the plane itself, if there's 77 of you, there's plenty of space between you, isn't there?
Yeah, so yeah, there was plenty of social distancing going on, no worries at all.
Yeah. And what happened when you landed here? What did you have to deal with in terms of the authorities?
Yeah, so we landed about this time last night, and then we taxied to the gate like normal, and then we were just told to remain seated, and we'd wait for Border Patrol to come meet us at the plane, at the air bridge there, and then they took us off 10 at a time.
Sorry, how many at a time?
10, right. 10. Yeah. And we were walked, yeah, they took us to, they escorted us down to sort of Border Patrol there, past sort of duty free, which was all walled off, you couldn't get to it. Got to Border Patrol and there was a row of tables there with some health workers masked up and gloved up, and they asked us some questions, took our temperature.
How was your temperature?
I was 37 from memory. I think it was all right.
Yeah, I think that's the right number.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was all through the sort of standard border control. And then down to pick up your luggage and stuff, but it was just all so eerily quiet. So then through the last sort of checkpoint there and through the X-ray and then out through into the public area, and there was no one there apart from a lone policeman just sort of directing us to go out the door.
And so this is late last night. Where do you go then?
Yeah.
I assume that nobody was going to be able to come and meet you, I would have thought.
No, exactly. So I had self-isolation planned for where I am now, but we weren't allowed to use any Uber or taxis at that time from the airport. So they basically popped us all in a bus, and then we headed off to the Ramada in Manukau. And stood in a long line for a while, and they got us checked in there within sort of half, three quarters of an hour. We were very friendly, and we all got a room. And that's what we bunked down for the night. Some people were going to have to stay there for the 2 weeks. But I was lucky enough, I was able to Uber across this morning back to my sort of old flat here in Auckland.
So you're actually lucky enough to have a place to go to here?
Yeah. Had sort of a pre-approved place, pre-organised place.
Are you on your own there?
No, I've got a friend who's isolating with me as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did your friend come across on the same flight?
No. They live here. They live here as well. So
right.
My old flatmate. Yeah.
Okay. So they're taking the chance with you. Good on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you want to get back to where your dad is, which I'm guessing is Christchurch.
Yeah, I want to get to Christchurch. So I'll sit my 2 weeks out here, and then I guess I'll apply to see if I can get down to Christchurch. But just being in New Zealand is still, if anything was to happen, I'm sure there could be...
But how do you feel about being back here now?
Oh, it's all sort of a bizarre, really, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, you're flying in last night in over Auckland and just seeing all the roads, no cars, or very few cars on them,
That's not like Auckland, is it?
Not for a moment, it was crazy. You're really eerie. And then where I'm staying up here on Simon Street, and it's just, for a Friday, it was just, a few buses passing every hour. Otherwise, it's dead, just quite incredible.
What's the rules in terms of you in Auckland and your dad in Christchurch? It's like it's not essential travel, and I don't know if there's any travel available. So how would you get there?
Good question. So I'm going to I'll bang an email off to the Ministry of Health or wherever and just see what the options, if any there are,
And your job? What about your job?
Oh, so we were all laid off. We all got laid off. And for an undetermined amount of time, and then hopefully we'll get reemployed.
I guess that's right. The company, if we get through this, the company starts to do business again. You're first off the ramp, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah, exactly. We all sign a contract saying, we could get laid off at a moment's notice. It's the sort of business we're in. And they had to pull, and they exercised that. We made sure everyone got home, all that sort of stuff. And we all got paid out and all that sort of carry on.
Have you got money saved, Al?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have a wee bit of money saved. I almost bought a house like 3 weeks ago.
Where?
In Christchurch.
Right, at the top of the boom. Yes, Al, that's your one little bit of good luck, maybe, although maybe not such good luck for the people who were trying to sell you the house. Bad luck for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I guess once you get back to your dad, then you can stay with your dad.
No, I'm going to stay with my sister.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yep. Well, I guess you just don't know when that's going to happen, do you?
No. But as I say, I'm in New Zealand now. I'm one step closer. I'm on the same soil, So that's better than being parked off in Oz for a while.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. Al, thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck getting back to Christchurch.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian. It was lovely.